F-35 from Minneapolis landed July 7th at Ellsworth Air Force Base, about 6 miles northwest of the intended destination, Rapid City Regional Airport. The report also said pilot confusion between the two is actually fairly common. More details at townhall.com.
Are you a trivia geek? Think you know pop culture? Are you ready for a challenge?
Yeah? No? Maybe? Whatever. It's fun, and that's all that matters. Grab your friends and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play the River Trivia Challenge. Live every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock inside Overtime Lounge. Test your knowledge and show your skills by playing the River Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free slot play and fantastic prizes. For official rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Trivia is better at the river. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical, knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends, and a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It is hump day, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. It is the 7th of June. It's 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock, and we're running hot today. We have guests already in here. And Bob, give us what the weather's going to be for the next few days here.
Well, we're going to see some clouds rolling in. That's happening right now. Today's high will be 90 degrees. Tonight, though, we actually will have rain likely after 11 p.m. Rainfall amounts, depending on where you're at, will be between quarter and half an inch, so time to take the Chase Lounge back into the garage. Thursday, we'll see a high only of about 73 degrees, so a dramatic drop. Thursday night showers likely. That will be tapering off as we get into the weekend, and as we get back into around Monday, it'll still only be in the low 80s by Tuesday in the upper 80s. Right now in Reading, we have 63 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Locally owned business, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Our guest is our brand new City Manager of Reading, Barry Tippin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, there's an old saying, be careful what you ask for, huh?
I've heard that one.
I've heard that one, but you're ready.
Actually, I heard you caught the bus you were chasing.
Well, there you go. And but this is something you wanted, obviously.
Yeah, I applied for it, and I'm interested in doing what I can to help.
There's been some, as I was getting preparing for today's show, all the headlines were as if there's a recall against Vice Mayor Schrader and Councilwoman Francie Sullivan.
Yes.
It hit last night, too. So thoughts on that?
Yeah, I haven't read any of the documentation, and certainly that's the rights of, our electorate. And, that's what makes this country great is the ability to do those things.
People upset can make changes.
That's right.
Barry, I know you've just been in the you've been just in the job for less than 12 hours practically.
That's about right. Yeah, actually a little under that, I think, but yeah.
But you've been in the business here, and you've been the assistant city manager for years.
Correct.
When people talk about, there seems some consternation about goals. And you look at your contract, there's nothing in there that says, frankly, that you have to achieve anything. However, we all know better than that. So, I mean, did the city council give you any goals? Identifiable goals?
Yeah, so through the process, there was a lot of discussion about, where the council would like to go, what they're looking for in the next city manager. And so, you know, within that conversation, obviously, there's a development of expectations. The city council and I have discussed the need for putting that into, you know, actionable, measurable, even if it's subjective measurables, mm-hmm. to, you know, achieve those goals.
Can you give our the people some ideas what those goals
are? Well, certainly, you know, easy ones to look at is our budget. Our budget is very, very difficult. We'll present that to the council on June 21st. And while we've worked hard to develop a budget that is completely balanced for year one and year two, which is what the requirements are, it's not balanced in years 3 through 10 in accordance with our rules and council policies and 5% reserves, et cetera. And, you know, so one of the first and primary goals, of course, is to work to effectuate a balanced 10-year plan so that the city is in good financial stead. Because if we're not, really nothing else matters, right? Because we're not able to achieve anything without having the fiscal and financial means to do so. So that is going to be a very tangible goal that has to be set, and what those parameters are and when that'll all be accomplished will be a work in progress over the next month between the council and I. Other things would be, you know, obviously public safety is a primary concern for our community and our city council, and I'll be diving deep into that arena and looking for ways to improve. The way I look at public safety is that it's an ecosystem. It's not the city of Reading by itself. I understand that the citizens of Reading have, you know, very high expectations of their city and their council members. However, I think they also realize that there's many, many others that are involved, in particular the county being a primary partner in that. And so I'll be looking for ways to improve and better our relationship, our coordination, and collaboration with the county to see what we can do. And then there's the various service agencies that are out there, and how do we get people to the services? How do we do better? The state of California has many programs that are available for people to improve their lives and to get off the cycle that they're on. One of the problems, of course, is that part of that means getting into the programs. Part of that means showing up to court. How do we break that cycle? How do we work together and collaboratively to make that happen? And I don't have those answers today. But there's a lot of smart people that need to get together and start talking and working more collaboratively, in my opinion.
Do you see the number of people that, you know, are bathing in fountains and all this a way of handling this? It seems like we've been very timid in the city level to try and start pushing people into a different direction.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we need to be respectful of two things. One is of humanity. You know, I mean, I understand the issues that we face, but these are also, many of these people are also people who have very serious issues and need help. And so I don't know that the best way in that regard is to try to arrest your way out of that. And so we need to be sensitive to that. I mean, our society is built on those types of things. The other thing is that we have to be cognizant and aware of our constitutional rights. People have talked about this much, but if you go back to some of the city's desires and attempts to restrict congregation around the library, and we were sued, and we lost, and the ruling was public space is available for public occupancy regardless of what they're doing.
Does that include sleeping overnight?
We have an anti-camping ordinance, but as you know, well, we're trying to force violations of law on a priority basis. I mean, we all know that we're struggling with law enforcement and the amount of active officers we have. We're also struggling, as I mentioned a minute ago, if we do arrest them, we don't have adequate space to hold the individuals for any length of time, and so there's that element. And so that goes back to my comment that it's an ecosystem. It's not one thing. And so if we focus simply on arresting, we'll probably be in the
same
cycle.
What about just moving them? Like, you know, you can't sleep here tonight, move.
And we do that. That does happen. And it's just that when our police officer in the middle of the night is actually responding to an incident of active break-in,
a real crime.
You know, they're not available to go over and ask somebody to move out of the park, and so that comes down to resources and how do we increase resources if we can't? What are the other options we have?
Well, that's what I'd like to. We're going to take a quick break here, and that's what I'd like to talk about is. Increasing resources is means bringing business in. And I want to go back into a little bit about setting goals. And if you're going to, and what your goals are going to be for your departments under you. And are you going to give them written goals and standards to get to? I.e., if you come in with a permit, I want it out of here in 2 weeks. I mean, I don't know if that's possible, but I think it can be. And those kind of things. As soon as we get back from these messages. But this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends down at Dandelion Boutique, 1322 Pine Street. Head on down there. Ladies, men, you're going to find the best clothing and gifts that you could possibly imagine. Brighton, Miss Me, all those types of things. You're not going to find a better place in town than Dandelion Boutique, open Monday through Saturday. We'll be right back with Barry Tippin, our Reading City Manager, in his first interview since being City Manager.
It's reported vehicle collision repair technology is advancing faster than medicine. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Alan Gordon, CEO of Coachmaster, is doing his part to provide the North Valley with the latest technology. He has added another frame machine using ultrasound computer measuring. Ultrasound can measure the frame and produce a printed document to verify any damage before repair is started. When repair is completed, an after document is printed for verification. Finally, wheel alignment is by our 3D imaging system. It produces the most accurate wheel alignment and also verifies frame accuracy, providing additional confidence for the vehicle owner. Three lasers, ultrasound measuring, infrared, 3D imaging. This sounds like NASA, but no, it's the best equipped collision repair shop in the North Valley. Coachmaster Collision Repair, Redding, California.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Summer's On Us sales event continues at Reading Kia, and the deals are so good.
Today, get 0% financing for 66 months and make no payments for 5 months on all new 2017 Kia Sorentos, Optimas, Souls, and Fortes.
And Kia Motors will make your first two payments.
That's right. Summer's On Us continues at Reading Kia, where every vehicle sold comes with complimentary lifetime oil changes and America's best warranty.
If you're in the market for a new car anytime within the next 5 months, come visit Reading Kia today.
0% financing for 66 months, no payments for 5 months, and Kia Motors makes your first two payments.
Take a test drive, make a great deal, have a great summer.
On approval of credit plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, and any emission testing fee. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for Summers on Us offer. 0% for 66 months is $15.16 per $1,000 financed.
Sale ends July 10th. Reading Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Reading. Facebook, YouTube.
ReadingKia.com.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. We're here with the brand new Reading City Manager. Have you signed a contract yet?
No.
Oh, so.
Yeah, we signed that today.
You're not going to change your mind between now and then, right?
Yeah, not likely.
Not likely. Okay. Well, you know, setting goals for your – it's a big thing for me in business, in private business. And have you – Have you been in private business? I don't mean that's
yeah.
Okay. So you
the
know
the first
what,
5 years of my career was in private sector.
Okay. Well, so you know about setting goals for people, and that way, you know, they can, you know, you ask them for the goals, then you look at them, and then you add to them, maybe take them some away, add others. Are you going to do that for your employees?
Yeah, of course, and that's not unique to the private sector, quite frankly.
Right.
Anytime you have a supervisor-subordinate relationship, you should establish goals and objectives.
Written goals and objectives.
Absolutely.
So you're going to do that too then.
Yeah, the difference between, you know, what you might find with me and a department director is that most of my goals with the city council, if not all of them, are going to be out for everybody to see. The goals and objectives between me and my individual department directors likely would be to between us. And we may have broad spectrum of information out for the public to know what our overriding goals and objectives are for the department. But there'll be many that are just specific to performance goals and part of the employee performance evaluation process, which will be more private.
Okay. So that way then, if somebody's not doing it, you don't have 12,000 people looking over and saying, hey, he's not doing this, or she's not doing this.
Yeah, it's important to have, like I said, those major objectives and goals for the city as it operates and performs. And then you have other goals and objectives that are explicit to an individual.
What are your visions of in the next 5 years?
That's a great question. And it kind of goes back to just – not the city manager's vision. It's a vision of where I want to live. I mean, I was born here, graduated from high school here, and want to retire and live a long life after that here. And so I want, just like everybody else, I want a vibrant community. I want a vibrant downtown. I want better employment. I want to be able to move the needle away from our mainstay of government and retail and tourism, and try to develop, you know, more. And it doesn't have to be large industrial, although I think we should continue to try to work on that. But I think, you know, what we can do to encourage small business growth, to create, new tech, like we're working with the EDC and the Venture Hub, and all of those things together to create a vibrant economic.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I like the idea because, as you know, we – EDC, in fact, after the Eagle Scout that comes in after you, then the EDC comes on. And, of course, the big thing we started talking about this is Stillwater. Grand jury said the Stillwater is being mismanaged terribly and that there is no view or there is no goals. You mean, nebulous as that may be, but they were pretty specific about it. What's your views on Stillwater?
Yeah, so I think there are goals for Stillwater. They haven't achieved their objective. The absolute goal was to land high quality performing corporate work with large wage and large employment. And I imagine if we had started right off the right out of the gate in 2011 or 12, when the recession was still pretty high, and just said, anybody can land here without any standards in regards to what the quality of the pay is and the quality of the job is and how many, we might have been able to land somebody. But we have been pretty particular that the industries that were wanting to come here bring forth higher than median wage and as many employees employees as we can. So that's been the objective. It hasn't been met, that's for sure.
No, it hasn't. And then one of the last ones that wanted to build there was deemed that they weren't appropriate. So they just built down in Red Bluff, even though they were hiring more than, I think it was like 30 people and had, paying above minimum wage.
Yeah,
but isn't something there, doesn't it kind of like, it's kind of like when people are, when Linda's singing, there's people kind of all, they're all sitting at a table. First, two people get up and dance. All of a sudden, everybody's out there dancing. Mm-hmm. Don't we need somebody out there dancing?
Well, and if you recall back at the time, we did have, and we still do have, a lot sold to Lassen Canyon Nurseries. And they were preparing to break ground and begin their – so we did have somebody who was going to go out on the dance floor.
But is that a high-tech company?
Well, both of the companies you're talking about are not.
Right.
So I'm using your analogy.
Right.
It says
okay.
You have
so
to get somebody to dance.
Right. Okay.
We did have somebody on the dance floor. They were getting ready to be on the dance floor. And we have talked with many, many companies that have very high wages and a high number of employees. For instance, we've had companies that we've tried to lure here that have, you know, many jobs in excess of $30, $40 an hour, mm-hmm. and 600 to 700 jobs. We have been working with those companies. None of them have chose to land here, but that has been the effort and that has been the objective. So there has been goals established for Stillwater. And the council in the priority setting session in February said, we want you guys to reassess that. Is that still the right goal and objective? So the council and the grand jury are really right on the same page.
Mm-hmm. How much money do we spend out at Stillwater every year?
I don't have that number right in front of me. We have debt service, basically, and I think that's $600,000 a year or something of that nature. But I don't have that number.
I heard the overall cost is going to be something like $43 million as opposed to $23
million. Yeah, and that's something we'll try to clarify within the response to the grand jury. The hard number is $23 million plus or minus. That was the construction cost. And then we do have ongoing interest costs associated with the bond, like you would with any bond. Mm-hmm. We have bonds on Bonneview, for instance. We took out bonds to build the Bonneview widening mm-hmm. through the redevelopment agency and through the traffic impact fees. And then there's the REU component, which that's where we'll do some correction for the grand jury report. The work that we did for REU was needed. It wasn't just for Stillwater. It might have been accelerated by a couple years for Stillwater, but it was needed work. It was planned work. It's not extra work. And so there wasn't extra expenditures that we otherwise wouldn't have done for the REU customers. We needed that to use our power plant at its fullest extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's some clarifications we'll do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, we had EDC coming in next. So I'm going to ask them a lot of questions about this. And, you know, it's tough enough when you're up in Northern California. But on top of that, we're in California. Do you see that as a huge impact?
Yeah, and more so now than when we started the process. You know, we started this process back in the early 2000s, as everybody knows. And the state of California has made it even more difficult to land any large corporate entity today than it ever was when we started the process. And so, you know, the goals and objectives that existed back then may not be achievable. And that's what the council has asked us to assess.
Okay. I'm going to take an early break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Sacramento River.
I love the river.
Yeah, a lot of people do. Unfortunately, what we have out there is a miniature golf course and geese pooping everywhere. We're here with our brand-new city manager, Barry Tippin, who, when I called him, Barry never dodges. When I ask Barry to come on, he always comes on and discusses whatever it is. In fact, sometimes calls and says, that person wasn't exactly right, and I would like to set it straight. I'm always for that. And we'll be right back after these messages.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, June 16th at 7:30 a.m. on Free Fire Radio, here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Reading Dance Center will present the full ballet production of The 12 Dancing Princesses, as well as a featured medley of upbeat dance pieces titled All the World's a Stage, on Saturday, June 10th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Follow the story of 12 beautiful princesses as they dance throughout a secret kingdom. Watch as a handsome apprentice becomes invisible and works to solve the castle mystery. Tickets can be purchased at readingcivic.com. This is a wonderful opportunity to watch Reading talent and support your local artistic community. Bring your family and friends for a delightful encounter with music and dance.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great landing, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Sure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hello, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I wanted to say thank you to our amazing community for welcoming the Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard to Reading Rodeo Week 2017. I especially want to thank these individuals for their support. Crown Motors, Holiday Harbor, Smoke and Joe's, Dill's Deli, Vince Stevenson, Stevenson Firearm and Ammo, Ted Leidy, Northern Firearm Instruction, Sergeant Casey Day, Anderson Police Department, Carl and Linda Bach, KCNR, and I especially want to thank Gordon and Debbie Bach. And until next year, as always, remember, everyone deployed. Semper Fi.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Well, you know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout, come on now, don't forget to
welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is taking care of Elk Killer, who got into a fist fight with some bees. 28 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, 61 degrees, going to be up to 89 today. Weather report is always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, discounts for seniors and veterans. Bastiani Arms brings us this segment. 2539 Larkspur, you can't find a better place in town to buy guns or any of the accessories, ammo, holsters, any of the accessories you want for shooting. Customer service is outstanding. They pride themselves, and they should, on how well they treat people there. Veterans get discounts at Bastiani Arms. Great classes on CCW. The whole place is a class act. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, open Tuesday through Saturday. We're here with Reading's new city manager, Barry Tippin, and we were talking about the Sacramento River when we left. Sacramento River, 60,000 cars going by here every day. One restaurant on the river between here and Red Bluff, and I'm not even sure about Red Bluff. It's been laying here. I mean, I've lived here for 10 years. It hasn't changed. I keep hearing this thing about Kutras and McConnell Foundations and those huge arguments that keeps anybody from building. But yet this, you know, but they said in the next 3 or 4 years, things could break loose. What do you know about this, and what do you think? What do you see happening?
So I've got a little more time here than you. So I've a little over 40 years that I've been in and out of Reading. We used to swim at Kutcher's Lake. So that was a big swimming hole, had a giant platform out in the middle of it. I don't remember what you paid, because my mom paid it. It's like a quarter to get in or something like that, and you got to swim in there all day. So, you know, that area has always been a great focal point for the community, and it really is still today, just not that we use it a ton, but everybody knows about it. Everybody, you know, appreciates that stretch of river and how accessible the river is at that location. I would offer two things. One is that we as a city have always been very respectful of private property rights. And that property throughout that area is owned and or have leases by private entities. And so we're very respectful of that. However, we also want to help wherever we can. I think the idea of, you know, developing that area out in a manner that you talk about would be fantastic. I mean, if you go to
Grants Pass, any of those
places. You know, any place that has a river, and they
riverwalks,
whatever you want to call it, but it provides an opportunity for people to stroll through, and particularly if you could connect it over to the Civic Auditorium area, the Sundial Bridge, and connecting to the rest of the trail system would just be fantastic. And so, from a city viewpoint perspective, we definitely would like to see that. And I would be very, very interested, and I have plans to reach out to the entities to see how we can help. You know, but there's definitely nothing that I'm planning to do, and I would plan to do that would be sort of forceful in that regard.
I want to be helpful,
yeah. And I want to be able to reach out and say, what can we do, and what are your plans? I know the Kuchar's family a very little bit, and took a college course from Chris Kuchar's, you know, back in the day. He probably doesn't want to hear that. But, you know,
well,
so.
That sure dates him.
Yeah, right, yeah, or me. So I want to be respectful of that, but I also want to let him know that we're here to help.
Okay, well, and that's a good idea. I mean, this is one of those things that you help him get, you know, that you say, hey, we're going to give you breaks on this and this and this if you start developing in here. I mean, so it's kind of a partnership because, I mean, let's just face it. We have an untapped amount of assets right there, beautiful natural assets that need to be planned correctly so, you know, we don't ruin it. But also, I mean, that can just, you know, if we could take 10% of those cars off that road that goes by us every day and pull them in here.
Yeah.
I mean, that would start, you know, this whole thing about law enforcement and no place to put people and all these things. The Shasta County tax, you know, their rolls are flat. I'm not sure about Renton. Are we at a flat or slow?
They're not flat, but they're not robust.
Right.
So, for example, I mean, you know, during our heyday, you know, our sales tax would be going up 4%, 5%, 6% per year. Now it's 2% to 3% per year, which barely keeps up with inflation.
So when you start talking about bringing in other businesses here, Adam McElvain. Big on bringing this fiber optic cable downtown. How can the city? How can we do this?
Well, as you are well aware, the council has asked Councilmember McElvain to go out and to further engage with some of the people he's been working with and bring back, you know, really good feasibility study with good analysis on cost, on opportunity, on with the market that's out there, and if that brings back good results and the council agrees to go with it, then we can do it any number of different ways. I mean, obviously there's a startup cost, a capital investment that is required, and you want to make sure that that's covered by
Do you think this would be very helpful for bringing in business?
I haven't studied it significantly off the top of my head. You know, certainly if you have high-speed gigabit-type internet, it should bring in high-tech business. You know, people will want to. And it might be relocation. So we need to be careful that we don't always couch it as new business. It might be just a business that is over on Turn Creek Road and chooses to relocate to the downtown core because it has high-speed internet. That's still good for the downtown. And it may allow them to expand. That's all beneficial and good. But at the same time, we may bring in new business as well. And so those are the types of things I think we have to be engaged in and we have to look for and we have to open our minds up to the possibilities.
What would you characterize your leadership style as?
Collaborative, open. I often, you know, there's this old management term that's called MIBWA. You ever heard it? It's called management by wandering about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So
we have another term for it in the Marine Corps, but I can't say it on the
so
on the radio.
I believe the best way to manage is through building expectations, building goals and objectives like we've talked about earlier, but also building those relationships both inside and outside of the organization, because the only way really to accomplish any great thing that we're talking about is to do it together.
What's your relationship with Redden Police Chief Rob Pelletti?
I've worked, you know, involved in anything that he and former manager Starman worked on, and so I know Rob as a colleague.
You're going to be really deep in with Rob, Chief Pelletti.
Yeah, the public safety element obviously is a high priority for the council and the community, and it's not just RPD. As I mentioned before, I plan on reaching out to City of Anderson, City of Shasta Lake, and the sheriff and Larry Lees at the county.
What would you say is your most outside-the-box thought coming in here? I mean, I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, okay? But when you work in a bureaucracy for what, 20 years, 30 years? You work in a bureaucracy. You succeed in a bureaucracy by being in the bureaucracy. In the outside world, you succeed because you go out there and take chances and all those things where you don't.
So I'm,
don't even have the right to do that.
So I'm going to challenge that.
Okay.
That.
All right.
Theory.
Challenge me.
And I'll just give you an example. You know, my approach has always been one to always look for better ways to do things. Always look for efficiencies. You know, many people don't know this, but they've heard about our strategic plan in REU.
Mm-hmm.
That was largely driven because our environment was changing. The requirements of the state of California and their resource portfolio and the renewables was changing. The way we were organized, the way we accomplished business needed to change. And I reorganized massively. I went from 7 direct reports to 4 and moved a lot of people's cheese, as the saying goes. And I believe that today we're better for it. We have an organization at REU that feels more empowered. I've encouraged much more decision-making at lower levels to allow for more immediate response to our customer base. That was not the way we did business. That was a total change in expectations in the way we did business, largely because of the environment that was forcing us to go down that path. And so I would say my biggest out-of-the-box thinking going forward is that. I am, you know, regardless of what people may have claimed, you know, I am not status quo, never have been in my career, even once. Because I believe status quo is not where success is. The world always changes. There's always new requirements. And if we don't look for ways to change with that, then I think that we're going to fail. And I'll also tell you that the idea about a needing to look at our rate restructuring, you and I talked about this on the
mm-hmm.
radio.
Right.
That's out of the box. That was not status quo. Now, it didn't pass, and we're going to go back and talk more about the community in a different way this coming summer. But, you know, to suggest that that would be status quo thinking, I think, is just false.
Okay. Well, and that's – I never said that you were status quo.
No, no. I just responded to some of the
But what
comments.
I was looking for is what Barry Tippin is going, okay, yeah. You know what? I'm just taking this and this and here, and I'm going to put it here because it's worked out there, that kind of stuff. Do we need – how many deputy city managers do we need?
Well, that's one of the things I'm going to look at. You know, and I think one of the issues that you have to look at when you look at organizational structures is why the positions are there. And my former position, the assistant city manager, was there largely for two things for most of the time it existed. One was it was a department head. It wasn't just an assistant city manager. I managed the housing division. I managed the redevelopment department. So I had departmental responsibilities, as I had with REU, as I had with personnel. You know, I always had departmental responsibilities. And then on top of that, you were to serve as the second in command, the chief operating officer. You know, to put it in a private sector sort of terminology, is the chief operating officer. Most every CEO has a COO because you want the CEO out and thinking about these new things, looking for new opportunities, not necessarily mired in the day-to-day.
So it will be a new REU, somebody we're bringing in for REU that understands that process, or bringing somebody up from within REU, and then keeping your other city manager, assistant city manager. I mean, you're not going to – in other words, you've stepped away from REU.
Correct.
So there's got to be somebody in charge of it. Now, either you bring them up from within.
Well, I have an acting person right now. His name is Dan Beans. He's the assistant director of transmission and distribution. And we will fly the position, and we will recruit and bring in the best person we can.
You are not the one that sets this. This is, but you are now. You've got a lot to say about it. A lot of consternation in the community about salaries. And I'm giving you like 3 minutes for this one. It's salaries. The salaries of our management is so much higher than the average salary of anybody or of the people in this town. You know, in the 100,000s or six figures to 30,000 for your citizens. What's the answer to that? Or is there any answer?
Well, I think from my perspective, we always have to be cognizant of what the market is to hire the people you need to do the job. And, you know, for instance, I'll just use me for an example so we can pick on myself. You know, I'm now running a 1,000-person, $300-plus million entity. And so I would suggest if you go into the private sector and you have that sort of a organization I'm comparable, if not lower than, most of my counterparts. Plus, we have more complexity than most of those organizations as well. And so we're looking at, the market base and who we can hire to do the job. And largely, when we look at it that way, that will drive what we need to be. When we look at electrical engineers, for instance, they have a specific market. They just aren't people who are sitting on their couch waiting for a job opportunity. These are highly skilled, highly trained individuals with specific skill sets that are very employed already. And so if we want good, solid electrical engineers, we have to be able to have a salary structure that not only allows us to hire them, but to keep them here after we've done all the training.
I can understand technical fields, but management fields.
Well, I think that I would disagree with you that management is not a technical skill, because I've had and worked for people who don't know how to manage.
True.
And
that's true.
That's
that there are people out there that don't know how to manage, but it's a skill that's
very desirable, sought right. after, and compensated.
Okay. Barry has to leave now, and he told me this before we got there. It's a quarter till because he's got a meeting. It was first meeting.
Well, it's a meeting with Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. Well, it's your first official meeting like that.
This was my first meeting.
This was your first meeting. Yeah. And today we talked about goals for this year, and you've got goals, and that you're not going to get too far out in front of the city council. There's one thing I'd like to say is that we need a strong city manager. We need somebody that's going to be able to set those goals, because sometimes we don't even know if two of these are even going to be here. 6 months from now.
Correct.
And I think that's one of the things people are looking for is and you said about thinking outside the box and setting goals and setting goals for all your people and hold them to it. And so I'm taking you at your word, of course, because you've never said anything to me that wasn't true.
Yeah. Well, and you go look at my history. It's pretty open since 1991.
Okay. All right. Good luck, because we want you to be a success, because then we will be a success.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Barry.
Thank you.
Hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I wanna rock! Get ready to rock the Cascade Theater! Theater, June 15th to the 24th, with the Tony Award-nominated Broadway musical Rock of Ages. Relive the 80s with the music of Styx, Journey, Pat Benatar, Twisted Sister, and more. Get your tickets to Rock of Ages and the VIP after party at the Cascade Box Office, 243-8877, or cascadetheaters.org.
You've heard me say this quite often. As dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we sell them for. There's a reason I keep telling you this. It's because it's true. Because as dealers, we do all pay the same price for these vehicles. So come to Crown Motors and you'll understand why I say the difference is what we sell them for. Come see us or visit us online at crownmotorsreading.com.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. I'm surprised we didn't have people calling in because there's a lot of people listening on this thing about with questions for you.
A little bit of a snark fest in the room, no calls.
He answered every question. I mean, I threw out there at him. And,
people may not have liked the answers, but he did answer.
Whoa, they're talking about he won't be around for 6 months. I don't believe that. Anyway, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Home Helpers. Best in-home health care you're going to find anywhere. Compassionate quality. Can't say enough about Home Helpers. Give them a call, 226-8350, whether it's short-term, in-home health care, or long-term. Sharon Clark does simply an outstanding job, and all of her people do, too. Hey, I'm here with the
Business Owner of the Year.
Business Owner of the Year. Kyle Gardner, who is working to become an Eagle Scout. But you just accomplished something out at the Eagle Cemetery. It's just absolutely beautiful, young man. You want to tell everybody what you did?
Right. So I just completed my Eagle Scout project, and my project was installing 18 15-foot flagpoles along the center island, along the entrance and exit. As you go into the cemetery out there, each flagpole is 15 feet tall, standard 3x5 flag. We finished it in time for Memorial Day, which is when we dedicated it.
Eagle Scouts need to do something in the community, right? Because we've had others cycle through here that we've helped raise funds for, that did things out at Good News Rescue Mission, One Safe Place, and other things like this. And what you did was, if you've not been out to Eagle, you need to go out there and look as you drive in, because these are, how many of them are there?
There's 18 of them.
18 of them. They're 15-foot flagpoles, of course, with the flags on them. It's just beautiful there when you drive in. So you did this. So now you're here. I mean, one of the things is we can thank you for what you did. Oh. But we also still need to pay for those, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I had enough money, obviously, to buy my materials to complete the project. But I'm still working on my fundraising to give the cemetery 36 flag supply for future years and future flags to put up there. But also there's a commemorative plaque for everyone who helped me donate to my project. And even people who donate now will still be on that plaque. Significant donors because my...
What's significant?
So a significant donor is someone who... like $500 or $1,000, or someone who donated like 18 flagpoles, like the certain clubs that I went to donated flags to me, or like Universal Precast Concrete donated all the concrete to put my flagpoles into.
Wow,
very very beneficial to me.
Did you do these all by yourself? I mean, did you put them up by yourself?
No. Each block is around 2,000 pounds. So I had to have a bunch of help from the cemetery. Like Frank, the landskeeper out there, helped me significantly.
So you had to dig a big hole there and put them in. There's That's a 2,000-pound right. block of cement under that?
Mm-hmm. Each one. So there's,
each one?
There's 18 of them. Yeah.
Did you know that, Bob? A 2,000-ton? A ton of cement to hold that 15-foot flagpole?
I am not surprised, given the dynamics involved and the wind that comes through there.
Yeah, okay. Wow, I would have not thought that. If you had told me 500 pounds, I would have thought, okay. 2,000 pounds. Okay, so who was that? Universal Precast?
Universal Precast Concrete.
Shout out to them.
Yeah.
All right. So are you still paying for stuff?
I need to get the rest of my supply of flags for the cemetery, so they have an additional supply for years to come. So it doesn't become a problem.
What are we looking for here?
Right now, we're looking for additional funds to get the flags that I need. I need about $1,500 worth of flags.
Okay. So that's what we're looking for around that?
Yeah, and a little bit more, just because anything other that
so you're looking
that
for $2,000.
Yeah, it goes around that. Goes to the cemetery. So it's
not going to you. I know everybody knows that.
Yeah, but it goes to the cemetery to help further the project. Like if they need sand to when it packs down to more sand, then they have money to do that. Or if they decide they want more flags, then they have more money to buy flags with. So
tell us about you. Where you go to school?
I'm 17. I just graduated Chassis High School last week. I'm going to Oregon State University in the fall. I've been with Troop 125 my whole Boy Scout career. I started as a Cub Scout. So now I'm a Life Scout.
Eagle Scouts become presidents and astronauts and leaders of industry and all that?
I do.
It's just true. Eagle Scouts, when you look at them, I mean, they... when we're looking at young men and women who are applying, well, for young men that were applying for the academies, Eagle Scout was a big thing because we look at it. Somebody that's achieved that has probably got a pretty good chance of making it through the military academies. And you know, it's we've had very close friends that were the wife was involved with the pack. And she had like five of her pack members, including her son, become Eagle Scouts. They all went through for Eagle Scouts.
Wow.
So what you all do is really, really good for the community. So how do people donate to you?
So they would send a check to where we meet. We meet at the First Presbyterian Church off of Placer.
Mm-hmm.
And they would address it to Kyle Gardner / Eagle Scout. Troop 125 / Kyle Gardner Eagle, I guess is actually how it should be. But just so when... the person who does like all the finances in our troop gets it. They go, "Oh, this is for Kyle Gardner, for his Eagle project."
Okay, so you make it to Eagle Scout Kyle Gardner, and what's the address?
The address is for the First Presbyterian Church, 2315 Placer Street. So 2315 Placer Street, Redding, California 96001.
All right. So I wish everybody could see these photos. Perhaps you can scan one of those in and send them to us.
Absolutely.
And we'll put it on the website. This is really – I tell you what, you know, if you have not been out there, you need to go out there and see this because this our avenue of flags is it adds so much to Igo. Igo is such a beautiful place already. But then when you drive in with this, I mean, what gave you the idea?
So my grandfather is interred out there. And my mom and I went out there to visit him. And we drove in, and we noticed in the center island where these are now, there were these little concrete blocks where had these little PVC screw-ins for, like, flags that they would do on special occasions, like for Memorial Day, for example. And then we just thought, you know, why not make it something more permanent, better looking, something that would really add to the cemetery. And then... hence, like, the project that we built.
How much did you raise for this?
I had to raise $11,500.
Okay.
And I'm actually still a little shy of that. I had a lot of my project donated, which helped me out more than I had calculated. So that's why I'm still seeking
funds. Have you gone
to
CVAC and the Military Order of the Purple Heart and any of these guys?
I've gone to a bunch of people like
you haven't gone to them though. Okay,
I don't believe so.
You need to go see them.
No, I have not.
The CVAC's probably. I think he's on the line right here listening. You need to go to them. We'll give you some phone numbers afterwards and see. You know about getting donations. VFW Post 1934. I mean, there's a lot of these places out here that these veterans organizations that have money set aside for things like this, and you need to go see every one of them. The Anderson VFW Post, AmVets. American Legion, Elks. If you haven't gone to
I've gone to the Elks.
Gone to the Elks. You already hit the Elks up?
Yeah, I've been to the Elks, Reading Rotary, Reading Democrats, Eaton House,
Missy MacArthur. Missy MacArthur.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd throw up Missy's name. You know, Anyway, I'm just kidding. Hey, his name is Kyle Gardner. He's working to be an Eagle Scout. He put up 18 15-foot flagpoles out there at IGO. It's absolutely beautiful. He needs $2,000, my friends. Let's get together and let's get that money for him so we can get pay off all these and provide flags out there at IGO for this.
Thank you for your tribute, sir.
Thank you so much for what you did.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You bet. Hey, we're going to break here for the news. When we come back, we're going to have the Economic Development Corporation.
Community Talk Radio for the North State is AM 1460. KCNR Shasta Redding for the news. It's brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. On Capitol Hill, President Trump's national security team is before the Senate Intelligence Committee to discuss intelligence gathering on foreign agents. Questions are likely to include a number on alleged Russian election meddling and whether the president has tried to influence the ongoing investigation. The same panel is set to hear testimony tomorrow from the fired FBI Director James Comey. Meanwhile, the president has announced who he wants to serve as the next director of the FBI.
The president says he'll nominate former Justice Department official Christopher Wray as FBI director. On Twitter, Mr. Trump describes Wray as a man of impeccable credentials and says details to follow. Wray was an assistant attorney general in the Bush administration and has served as New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's personal lawyer.
As White House correspondent Greg Clugston reported, Russia is speaking out against today's terrorist attack in Tehran. President Vladimir Putin has offered his condolences after the twin attacks, one on Iran's parliament and one at a shrine to its revolutionary leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini. In a message released by the Kremlin, Putin said Russia, quote, resolutely condemns the violence. Correspondent Charles de la Desma reports the French President Emmanuel Macron says a third French victim has now been identified among those murdered by Muslim terrorists in stabbing and van attack in London on Saturday.
Speaking in Paris, Macron didn't name the third victim. He says eight other French citizens were injured on Saturday. He adds, "We're paying a heavy cost in these attacks." Meanwhile, relatives of Australian Sarah Zananak have confirmed she died. The 21-year-old worked as a nanny in London and had previously been described as missing after the attacks on Saturday night.
It's Charles Lee Dela Desma reporting from London. On Wall Street, the Dow right now is up 12 points, the NASDAQ up 16, the S&P 500 up about 1 point. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay. And a sudden accident or unexpected illness could cause your rates to skyrocket or even make you uninsurable. Beat the clock. Call SelectQuote now. No hassle, no obligation. In minutes, you'll have a choice of your best rates from up to 10 highly rated life insurance companies. Richard, 40 years old, takes meds to control his cholesterol. Still, SelectQuote got him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $24 a month, under a dollar a day. Don't risk your family's security another minute. Get your free quote now. Just call 800-305-8080. That's 800-305-8080. 800-305-8080. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The Justice Department says it will no longer allow big companies and banks to settle cases by donating to outside organizations.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions says he's ending the obscure practice that allowed companies to meet some of their settlement burdens by giving money to groups that were neither victims nor parties to the case. Sessions says that money should go to the U.S. Treasury Department or victims. Republican lawmakers this year introduced a bill that would prohibit the Justice Department from requiring defendants to donate money to outside groups.
That is Jeremy House reporting. At a time when many are fighting for the right to change their gender identity, in Nebraska, a little 8-year-old girl is fighting to keep hers. Millie Hernandez, who likes to wear her hair short, was disqualified from a soccer tournament along with her entire team when officials decided she was a boy. Her family even brought several forms of identification, including her insurance card and a doctor's physical form to prove she's a girl, but the team was still disqualified. More from townhall.com. Correspondent Jackie Quinn says researchers feeling confident that pregnancy will not trigger a recurrence of breast cancers. now want to see if treatment can be suspended to allow women of childbearing age to get pregnant.
There's a large study underway now in the U.S. and other countries which takes this breast cancer research one step further. Researchers are testing whether it's safe for breast cancer survivors who want to get pregnant to temporarily stop taking the hormone-blocking drugs like tamoxifen, which usually are given for 5 years after a woman is treated for breast cancer.
That's Jackie Quinn reporting. Uber has ousted more than 20 employees. The move comes after a law firm investigated complaints of sexual harassment. A spokeswoman for the ride-hailing service says the outside law firm was hired after a former engineer posted a blog in February saying that sexual harassment was prevalent at Uber. More of these stories can be found at townhall.com.
A true tribute band comprised of the best musicians and performers specializing in a complete Eagles concert production. Join us Friday, June 16th at 7:30 p.m. as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Life in the Fast Lane. The songs of the Eagles live in the event center. This group's spot-on tribute will have you believing you're hearing the Eagles. They left the images of the songs they perform no frills. Speak for themselves. This is good, simple music. So take it easy as you drive down Life in the Fast Lane. Pass the witchy woman looking into her lying eyes. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WinRiver.com. Tickets $12.50 each or a table of $10, $100. Don't miss the chance to see Life in the Fast Lane. The songs of the Eagles. The ultimate Eagles tribute band experience turns Wind River Resort and Casino into Hotel California. Friday, June 16th. For details, call 1-800-280-UIN or log on to WinRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend. Concerts are better. Concerts are better at the River.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. With Carl and Dubai. Linda is on assignment this morning. It's 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Really, I'll tell you what happened was, is that Elk Killer was out in a walk yesterday, got in a fist fight with two pit bulls. She is being kept at home because they want to make sure that she doesn't have rabies because she just took them and beat them up so bad. The pit bulls, they were laying there begging for mercy. They were pit bull mastiff crosses. She pulled a knife on him, so we're trying to keep her out of jail. In reality, she got into a fight with a bee. And,
Poor Snooki.
Her face is all swollen up. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here. And what's the weather look like here for the rest of the week, Bob? Nobody really cares about my...
Reality now.
Increasing clouds and a high near 90 today. So it's nice seasonal-type weather, but that is going to change this afternoon and this evening. In fact, looking at the KCNR weather radar, we do have rain off the coast and it is moving towards the coastline, so we will be seeing that right in our vicinity by tonight after 11 p.m. Rainfall amounts between a quarter and half an inch. Rain for your Thursday, a high of only 73, so quite a drop in just 24 hours. Winds up to 17 miles an hour, could gust up to 23 miles an hour, so get things that are easily damaged by rain or susceptible to winds inside. That will continue through Thursday night. Friday, chance of showers and a high of 75. So pretty very mild spring-type weekend on tap. Shasta Lake, for those of you who want to go up there and brave the weather, is only 8 feet from the top. And right now in Redding, as we said, 67 degrees. All of the above is brought to you courtesy of Shasta Gas Propane.
A locally owned, veteran-owned business based in Anderson, and they give discounts for seniors and veterans. Good people, Chuck and Judy Kinney down there. And the Kinney family is all involved in the Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. Hey, we're here with Todd Jones.
Good morning, Carl.
You know, I've known Todd for, what, like 6 years?
Probably something like
I've
that.
I've got Todd down pretty good. But his last name changes dramatically from time to time when I write things down. He goes from, you know, Brown to James to Jones are the correct thing. Sometimes it's other things.
Don't feel bad because he messes up his own relatives last night.
Oh, no, that was my darling wife who called my – who introduced my sister by the last – by on the her last name – by the wrong last names. Not once, because you can do it once. Twice. She did it twice. And they never said anything. Instead of Thomas, she was calling them Johnsons. But we have Johnsons in our family. She has Lynn has Johnsons in her family. So from then on, anytime we go out and there's dinners or reservations, it's always for the Johnsons.
Nice.
So anyway, yeah, you probably didn't need to know that. Todd.
Yes.
Economic Development Corporation.
Yes.
You are in charge of their entrepreneur.
Yes, sure. Entrepreneur development. And
So where's Tony?
Tony, I believe right now is getting prepared for some meetings down in Sacramento next week. So trying to meet with a few folks down there. We have a pretty good relationship with the Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development, GoBiz, and he's been having some very active conversations with them. So, you know, he's out there fighting every day, and he's been very busy. Recruitment has been up more than it's ever been in the past, really the past year, more than it ever has been for the past 5 or 6 years.
When you say recruitment, what do you mean by that?
So companies are always looking to relocate, and basically what they do, there's a few avenues. They go out to different states, and they go through some different venues. GoBiz, the governor's office is one of them, and they say, here's our criteria. Here's kind of a little bit about the company, a little bit of a profile. And then economic development corporations, and a lot of times EDCs are our department of the city. So we save the city of Redding, Shasta Lake, and Anderson and the county a lot of money for contracting out those services. And we basically offer, and this is Tony's primary activity, he is making a package for the sweetest deal to give to these companies saying, okay, I see your criteria. Here's what we can offer between the county, the city of Redding, wherever that company might fall. He gives them different options in all the different cities and unincorporated areas and just tries to make a good incentives for them to come, because it's not really, you know, necessarily just about the building that they might have or something like that. It's about that reoccurring investment that's going to happen when you bring new jobs into the county. Okay. So they're kind of like a broker for large companies that are looking to relocate.
I wish he was here today, because I want to talk to him about Stillwater. So, but you've talked to him about Stillwater.
Sure. I can ask. I can answer a few things, but I don't have as much information as Tony does.
Well, you know, as you know, the grand jury came out and just slapped the city of Redding and the EDC about the head and shoulders about Stillwater. Stillwater is hasn't done anything since it's, you know, become shovel ready. The one company that's bought something there hasn't done anything yet because of, you know, changes and things that were going on in other parts of the world. As we know, when you've got a company that is an international company, they could be doing great right here, but something happens in Romania, and it has an impact all the way across.
Sure.
The next one coming in that wanted to build and you know, get going, we didn't think that they were good enough for our Stillwater, because our Stillwater's got really high standards. So they went down to Red Bluff and built, and $500,000 and 30 people with jobs and expanded. The grand jury said that there's nobody really in charge of Stillwater, that it needs to have somebody from the city management at least be looking at this thing. We're spending money, but we're not getting people in. And just what exactly is happening and what are the plans?
Well, what are the plans? That's a good question. I think one of the things that stood out to me in reading the grand jury report and talking with our board members and talking with Tony is, and I don't know if I can really say this, but I think the grand jury really missed the point, unfortunately.
Oh, you can say that.
Yeah.
Because, so, you know, it's not the first time the grand jury maybe has made a mistake.
Now, they made some very valid arguments that I think everybody can agree with and everybody understands. I mean, there's been a lot of challenges. The city invested a lot of money into Stillwater, and we have empty lots out there. That's not a good thing. But I think one of the ideas is that the grand jury really pointed out time and time again that the city's not going to make a lot of money on the sale of the land. But that was really never the intention of it.
The city was ready to give away land.
Sure.
You know, a couple years ago, hey, you come out here and build, we're going to give you the property.
Absolutely. And I think that's a valid thing to do.
I still think it is.
But that was not pointed out in the grand jury report anywhere that, okay, they're going to lose maybe $10 million or something like that, whatever their number was they had in the report on purely the sale of the land. It's not a real estate investment. It's an economic development investment, because if you get a company out there with 50 jobs or 100 jobs or 1,000 jobs, which are some of the companies that Tony's been talking to are at that level of 1,000 plus, though that investment, even if you give them the land for free, as an example, that money that's going to come back into the county is going to be 100 times that amount. So
I have no problem with giving that away. There's some people, but if it's a business that's going to bring in millions of dollars in taxes, employment, and salaries, and then people buying things, guess what? That's the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
And if you have to give them some breaks out there, that's the cost of doing business, as long as they stay.
Right.
And, you know, after 5 years and you've given all these breaks, we're going to move someplace else.
And, there's incentives and there's things that the city has that in their economic development package for Stillwater that has some of these stipulations in there for the size of the company, how many jobs they're going to bring, you know, what their square footage is going to be, what their design of the building is going to be. There's a lot of these things in there. So I think that's just the one glaring thing that stood out to me in the report is that, you know, that they didn't mention that at all. And I know Tony mentioned that several times in his interview with the grand jury, saying that, you know, it's really about the jobs and the reoccurring revenue that we're going to get from having a large company at Stillwater.
Okay. We're going to take a break here. It's a quarter after eight. I'm here with Todd Jones, who's director of their entrepreneur division at the EDC and is very successful at that. We have a full hub and growing. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. Linda dropped off like five watches there because they have the only watch repairman in the whole area. Is right there at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Extreme value, really honest people. Rebecca and Henry there, they're straight shooters when you go down there and talk about jewelry and what they have. All right, we'll be right back, 17 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, 67 degrees, going up to 89 today.
Here's another energy-saving tip from REU, Reading's Electric Utility. Did you know some newer TVs, DVD players, and other items like chargers for electronic devices constantly draw a small amount of energy, even when off or not in use? When possible, either unplug or use power strips so you can easily turn off multiple items at once. For more energy-saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you, powerful together.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
It's time to celebrate with Anderson Explodes, Pam Tillis and Amy Clausen on July 3rd at the Shasta District Fair. Brought to you by the McConnell Foundation, Reading Kia, Sierra Pacific Industries, KRCR, Chronic Disaster Services, and this radio station. Admission is free, so come on down. Gates open at 4 p.m. Music starts at 7:30. Fireworks at 10 p.m. Food and drinks are available, including the annual 4-H FFA barbecue. Parking is just $4. See you July 3rd at Anderson Explodes.
After we inspected a vehicle with a driving problem, I called the insurance company, Don Steck, for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The insurance adjuster seemed skeptical because the vehicle had recently been repaired, so I invited him to inspect it. The first area was only 1/8 inch off, as was the second. He said, "I don't see a problem. Each area is within tolerance." "Tolerance is accumulative," I said. "This car is 1/4 inch short on one side, and that will amplify over the length of the car. When measured the full length, the wheels will not align. Accumulative damage is often not understood." He said he would check with the shop to do the repair. He called later and said, "They are frustrated, because no matter how perfect they make it, Coachmaster can always make it better." I replied, "If we can make it better, it was not perfect." Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Reading, California.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great day today. It's a super day out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Now, 67 right now, going up to 89. It's going to be raining tomorrow, so you're saying, well, it's going to still be cool. Guess what? Next week, you know it's coming. It's coming. 100 degrees. It's coming. And when it's here, it comes in with a vengeance. Is your air conditioner working? Is it in good shape? Well, Alliance Heating and Air, they're the ones to go to. Martin and Pam run Alliance Heating and Air. Martin's a veteran, owns this. They have provide outstanding service, voted best in the North State. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. This is all we use, is Martin and Alliance Heating and Air. There's not a better one out there. Okay, Tony Giovanella just walked in because he said he was afraid that Todd was going to start punching me because I had this whole other list of questions I was going down. And anyway, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Carl.
Oh, good. The grand jury came out, and was it a surprise? Did you know it was going to happen?
No, you never know what their reports are going to be on. I think that's part of why they do it that way. And obviously, when I read the report, there was a lot of detail that went into it. As with most reports, it is kind of a historical perspective as opposed to a forward-looking document, although they did talk about some of the future additional costs and the debt service related to the park.
Mm-hmm. So the debt service related to the park is, when people were talking, I think people were surprised that they were hearing $23 million all this time, and it's really like $46 million, or it was $27 million, it's $43 million. Anyway, it was a big delta there.
Yeah, and that's primarily, whether you're looking at the actual capital improvement cost or that cost plus the cost of the debt service, right, interest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't see your five-page I don't know if it would be a rebuttal, but an answer to what the paper was saying, and because they only printed like a paragraph.
Right. Well, the five-page one I ripped up.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Maybe that's why.
But, okay. When all is said and done, Carl, I think the grand jury, their job is to do due diligence on certain things that they think are of interest to the community or are things that, they should highlight, where maybe some action should be taken. In reality, Joe Cerami's Speak Your Peace back in October really said it well, that Stillwater is an asset. And really, when you look at it, a lot of the discussion about whether we should move forward with it or there should be a plan B actually takes away from our ability to market it effectively, which is probably the most frustrating thing to me. However, I do believe that public debate is important. But when all is said and done regarding what the possibilities are with the park, some of the things that are raised about, turning it into a real estate development, et cetera, the costs and the infrastructure that is there is for light industrial and heavy industrial usage. There's 16 parcels there. The utilities are heavy duty, and they're targeted for 16. If you want to do something different, like make ranchettes or things like that, you're going to end up with many more parcels, which means a whole new infrastructure, all new utilities, different roadways to get to those parcels.
But that would
parcels.
Be paid by the developers, though, right?
Potentially. Yeah. It would be, but then the reality is, let's look at the asset again. Let's go backwards, okay? Yes, that investment was made a long time ago. It was made with the intent of driving the economy. Let's look at numbers here. So 1,000 jobs in Stillwater, mm-hmm. if they're manufacturing jobs, and this is conservative, creates between $250,000 and $500,000 a year per job. So let's just take a round number. Let's take $350,000 a job times 1,000 jobs. That's $350 million of economic activity for our area each and every year. That kind of dwarfs the numbers, whether it's $23 million, $41 million, or $59 million. We're talking $350 million per year if it happens. So at this point, you know, there are less and less new areas that are fully entitled in California. The economy is still rolling. It's not time to pull the plug. At some point in the future, if we get into another recession, it might be.
So what are we looking at then? I know that you're we've had two really, I think, really competent people, you and your predecessor, mm-hmm. in there. And Mark, I mean, there was probably times Mark had his face down on his blotter with tears rolling out of his eyes. I know that. And I'm sure that doesn't happen to you because you're just, you know.
I'm tough.
You're tough. But, you know, and Mark, like, I think he said one time, he just said, I really didn't know what to say, he says, at that point. And Mark LaSalle not knowing what to say is kind of big. but what do we have? I mean, I know you can't talk about specifics, but there's so many of them out there, but they're all kind of, I mean, we talked to Barry Tippin, and I said, you know, Linda, when she sings, got a dance floor there. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of empty, and then the first couple gets up to dance, and everybody runs out there. We've got a strawberry nursery that hasn't, you know, hasn't started because of international reasons. Mm-hmm. What's it going to take to get that first dancer out there, that first couple out there on the floor?
Well, I'm confident that we're doing a lot of creative and aggressive things to do that. It's, you know, it's just finding the right opportunity and the right fit. We're getting more at-bats than we've ever gotten. We're moving further along in those opportunities. You know, if you look at it like a sales funnel, we're moving further down through the stages than we ever have before. And unfortunately, sales is a numbers game. And, you know, you don't hit them all, but the reality is the more at-bats you get and the more you find alignment between the target company's needs and what you offer, mm-hmm. the better your opportunities. And we're getting better opportunities. Our story is good. And the support that we're getting from the city is really where it needs to be. So, you know, everything's aligned, and we just got to, you know, we got to keep getting those pitches and swinging at them, right?
So free is good then, right?
Hey, you know, when you look at the numbers that I just talked about.
Yeah.
So if the value of the land in the park is 13 or 14 million, whatever you want to throw at it, 350 million per year dwarfs that.
Right.
Okay? So it's not an issue. That's not an issue.
So giving somebody a 14-acre parcel mm-hmm. is not a bad idea.
If it's going to create that level of economic activity, and if it's not going to distract from marketing the rest of the parcels.
Okay. So the Red Bluff or the mm-hmm.
greenhouse.
The greenhouse.
Yes.
Would that have detracted, do you feel?
Well, that's why there are design guidelines. And, you know, obviously there were a lot of things going on. There were multiple offers. Also, parcels 1 through 5 are designated more for, you know, kind of a clean commercial look. Lot 5 is actually the most attractive lot in Stillwater.
Maybe that's why they wanted it.
Probably.
Okay. So you have no problem with them being turned down then because they didn't meet the requirements?
Well, at that, you know, you have to go back to where we were at that point in time. There was also competing offers. And the other offer was for lot 4 and 5. And the other offer was with a company that was going to create a lot more jobs that were going to bring a lot more value. Doesn't mean that all jobs are important. But, you know, when you only have one parcel that two parties want, you've got to compare the economic benefit to the citizens. That's a fiduciary responsibility the city has.
Okay. Who was the other company, or can you even say that?
Yeah, it was actually published in the paper. It was a family that was purchasing it, and then they would have leased it back to a private company, a rather large company. It was DNS Family LLC.
Okay. All right. Hey, we're here with Tony Giovanello and Todd Jones. Tony, of course, is the CEO of
the president
and CEO of the of the Economic Development Corporation, and Todd's in charge of their entrepreneurs, and they've got the Shasta, of course, the Shasta Hub out there, Venture Hub. And we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the – well, I tell you what, we're just going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Summer's On Us sales event continues at Redding Kia, and the deals are so good.
Today, get 0% financing for 66 months and make no payments for 5 months on all new 2017 Kia Sorentos, Optimas, Souls, and Fortes.
And Kia Motors will make your first two payments.
That's right. Summer's On Us continues at Redding Kia, where every vehicle sold comes with complimentary lifetime oil changes and America's best warranty.
If you're in the market for a new car anytime within the next 5 months, come visit Redding Kia today.
0% financing for 66 months, no payments for 5 months, and Kia Motors makes your first two payments.
Take a test drive, make a great deal, have a great summer.
On approval of credit plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, and any emission testing fee. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for Summers on Us offer. 0% for 66 months is $15.16 per $1,000 financed.
Sale ends July 10th. Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Redding. Facebook, YouTube.
RedingKia.com.
The Cascade Theater is launching a brand new season of shows June 1st, featuring Olivia Newton-John, Pink Martini, and performances from award-winning country, rock, and comedy stars. Members can start buying tickets June 1st. Everyone else, June 13th. Become a member of the Cascade Theater today for early access to the best seats, ticket exchange privileges, opportunities to meet the stars in person, and more. Get the rewards of a Cascade Theater membership. 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott here. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's going to go up to 89 today. It's 8:33 in the morning. You know, it's been kind of an interesting day here. We had Barry Tippin on. Our new city manager, I didn't drill down with Barry for two reasons. One, Barry just took the job. I mean, he hasn't signed the contract yet, you know, so we're not sure, but we think he's going to take the job. One of the questions I asked him, and I should have asked him here, but I asked him outside, what's your stay here? You can retire in a year and a half. He says, you know what? I'm looking at being here for a minimum of 6 years. Young, this is what he said. I'm being, to be here for a minimum of 6 years, but he serves at the discretion of the city council. And right now, there's a recall petition for two of them.
That could very much change the texture.
And one of the people
council.
That's on the council voted against him. So, I mean, you've got to kind of keep your – I mean, this whole kind of thing is kind of – you know, there's a lot of things going on in the air here. But I'm just glad to hear he wanted to stay here for 6 years because that has a lot to do with what we're talking about in the Economic Development Corporation and Stillwater and ideas and goals and objectives, which the contract had – were woefully short of. And that's what people were really upset about. Now, does Barry Tippin have goals? Yes. Does he think he understands what the goals are of what the city council is? He says yes from the questions, but they didn't write them down. So, you know, that right there is, to me, is a travesty because unless you write something down for somebody, and I'm on my horse right now, but unless you write something down, and you know this, Todd, and in the military and this, you have a string of objectives and to reach a goal. And unless you have that there, how are you going to ensure that the men that you've got there working for you are going to meet those goals until they hit those objectives? It's not fair to him. It's not fair to the citizens for there not to be objectives, clear objectives in writing. Though it says they can do it, but in the contract there is nothing, absolutely nothing in there that says what the goals are. I mean, how in the hell are you supposed to know what's in Francie Sullivan's mind and Brent Weaver's mind about goals for this city manager? How unfair is that? Well, I believe it's very unfair, and I think this needs to be changed. I think the city council needs to put out these goals and objectives and write them down and give them to Barry Tippin. Just my thought. This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by Cyber Square Barbershop. Best place in the world to get a haircut. Better known, man's last stronghold. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Right off of Athens Avenue. Right up from Classic Cafe. And my friends, Classic Cafe is one of the best places you're ever going to find to have breakfast or lunch. But you got to do it now. Millie and Kathy are shutting down this Friday. If you haven't heard, if you haven't been down there, you need to go down, say goodbye, have their chipped beef on toast, have their, what is the one you have, the Smoking Joe or something?
Well, there's a Classic Joe's, and then there's the Classic Jose's. These are good breakfast.
Great breakfast. Yeah. And all the stuff is going to be turned over to the Shasta County Veterans Affiliate Council because they want to take the concept of Classic Cafe and use it as a training spot for veterans so that veterans can get into the food service. Anyway, okay. I was on my horse there for a second, but I'm coming back now to Tony Giovanello, who heads up the Economic Development Corporation, and Todd Jones, a former Marine, thank you for service, who heads up their entrepreneur division. Tony, we talked about how you're being very aggressive out there, and we're getting a lot more times up at the plate, you know? Yeah. And now there's something big that's happening that we're being included in.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, one of the ways to know or to, you know, better understand how you're doing is getting feedback, right? And the state has been telling us that we're one of the most aggressive economic development organizations in the state. And as an indication of that, there is a delegation of 30 Chinese executives, business executives. These are chairmen and CEOs. These companies are looking at making a foreign direct investment in the U.S., hopefully California. And the state, because of the aggressiveness and creativity they've seen in our proposals on some of the deals we've worked on, they've invited us to be one of the 10 economic development organizations in the state to be able to present to this delegation of 30 Chinese executives. That's next week, and we're extremely excited by it.
Well, it's too bad I'm not here. I'm going to be gone next week. I'd be glad to come out there with my my truck with the big wheels and drive around, you know, and says, you know, kill a commie for Christ. So I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
It was, I hope they're not listening.
I'm just, you know what? Some people will fear Chinese starting a factory here or doing something. You know, frankly, people investing in this area that live by our rules, live to what we believe in. You know what? You know, we've got the Japanese have built factories everywhere in this country, and everybody seems to be thriving on it.
Sure.
Nobody seems to be having a problem with it. It would be interesting to see us get I think we need to have something happen at Stillwater. I know this must be just terribly frustrating at times.
Sure, and you know, maybe one of the outcomes of these presentations are that an opportunity is identified. By the way, Carl, I look at this whole idea of Chinese companies looking to build factories in the U.S. as a huge positive. What that means is they think there's going to be maybe some things with trade which make it more beneficial to do business here. Maybe lower taxes.
Like the Japanese did. Yeah, the Japanese broke the code on that, said, you know what, we're going to start building in your country. Yeah.
They see their cost of living going up and therefore their labor rates going up. So now you got to consider total cost of ownership. How much does it cost to ship it over here? What's the cost of, you know, of diesel on those ships, right? You know, what about the cost of that inventory on the water for 3 or 4 weeks? So there's a whole bunch of factors, and it just means that they think we're more attractive, a more attractive place to do business maybe than we were a year or two or three ago.
The we have the railheads right here, but they don't go right to Stillwater. Is that a problem?
For those who need rail.
Well, I mean, if people come in, like say they bring it up from Long Beach,
sure,
you know, and then and they're shipping by rail north. Mm-hmm. When they get here, I guess you know the question is you know, do they offload and have it taken by trucks over there? But you understand what I'm?
Yeah,
this is one of the things that you're having to face right now is that we built something with no spur there.
Well, I'm actually excited because there is a company called Valley Pacific who actually moves fuels around the North State. And they actually bought the rail spurs off of Market Street, off of 273. And they are now expanding into other areas. And I've been working with them. They are more than open to take stuff off of rail cars for local delivery or allow our businesses here to load onto rail cars in their location. And that's very exciting.
I think that is, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give you a break here, and let's go over to Todd. Todd, the Shasta Venture Hub, still full?
Well, I think it was last month when I was on here with Tim Marinello that we had just had or we were about to have a couple companies launch out of the Venture Hub.
Right.
One of them is Square Practice, which we talked about. It's
right.
A dental business intelligence software program. The other one is Spiro Pictures. They moved downtown just around the corner from here.
Right.
So we do have a couple offices empty right now, and I think it's kind of within the season of summer, and a lot of the entrepreneurial community in this area can sometimes be a little bit transient and be away over the summer. So we do have a couple offices open right now. So if there's anybody out there that's looking for a turnkey office, 100 megabits of internet symmetrical up there, give me a call. Or shoot me an email at todd@shastaedc.org. We're looking for startups in the technology and manufacturing realm. We're still turning down freelancers and sole proprietors, and we're really looking for those scalable startups to move in there, have a place to start their business, and then hopefully within less than a year they can launch out of there like these other two companies did.
And let's not forget the purpose of the Venture Hub. That's exactly what the Venture Hub is for. It's for people to come in, get started, get a good deal on what on being there, get themselves, have mentors around them, people that can help them, really good rates on things, get themselves established, and then launch from there. And as these two have come down, two of them have come downtown.
Right, both of them did. And it's also become really a literal hub for a lot of this stuff and innovation and startups and entrepreneurial stuff in Shasta County. We're having a lot of events. We have at least two or three events that are not related directly to the EDC each week. So last week we had an e-commerce and marketing boot camp that Angela Cordell with the Community College System put together, and she's also doing some international trade certificate programs at the end of this month. Reading Fashion Alliance, I believe, is having they have a space downtown, but Rachel Hatch –
Hatch is associated with everything.
She's now, having some great events up there as well this summer.
And is now working for McConnell Foundation, and I think that's a good fit.
Yeah, we're really excited, and she's been a great partner with us and with her new position.
We're lucky to have her.
A lot of great things.
Yeah, Rachel is she's a Bay Area girl that has embraced this community. And has done very much. We have her back on here in a few weeks. So what do you see as, what's your next entrepreneur coming in there? I mean, what are you seeing over there?
There's been, there's kind of been an uptick, and something that we really want to try to harness is there's a lot of freelancers and telecommuters in Shasta County. I mean, it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around what the number is and what that looks like, but I'm guessing there's probably, over 1,000, if more, probably a couple thousand freelancers and telecommuters that, most people in Shasta County don't know they're here, but they're buying homes, they're investing, they're going to the stores, they're buying cars, they're doing all this activity but their payroll is out of state, out of country sometimes. So you don't really have an idea that they're here. So one of the things I've been trying to do is I go to coffee shops and, you know, just having these events like Beer and Bites, which is next Thursday, and Pitch Breakfast, which is tomorrow.
Tell people okay, the Pitch Breakfast, I've heard from other people besides you, by the way, that people going down there and listening. But the Beer and Bites next Thursday, what exactly is that?
So Beer and Bites, I actually I shifted my original plan just last week, and I came up with a different idea that we're just going to start marketing today. And next Thursday, we're actually going to do a reverse TED hosted and facilitated by a guy named Kirk Wayman with Icon Coaching. And what that is really we're just going to try to bring these entrepreneurs together, because a lot of times it's a presentation to these entrepreneurs, plus the networking is very valuable for these guys that are working in homes or working in coffee shops that might not network that often. So next week we're really going to try to do a really fun interactive. Hopefully for those introverts that are working from home, it's going to be okay with them, but we're really going to try to pull out these questions and these challenges that every entrepreneur has and help them answer their own questions by asking them questions on, you know, where are you stuck? What do you need? What do you want out of your business? What do you want out of your idea? And really just try to spur on some great discussions on how we can break them out of wherever most entrepreneurs are in. There's something that they're stuck with somewhere along the way, and we're going to try to help break that loose next week.
Okay. Hey, that's Todd Jones from he's the entrepreneur developer over there at the Shasta Venture Hub from the EDC, and Tony Giovanella, who is the head of the Economic Development Corporation. We're going to take a quick break and be right back for our last segment. It's 15 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. It's 67 degrees going up to 89 today. And it's Wednesday, the 7th of June. It's hump day.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Two young men looking to impress two young women invite them to meet their rich auntie at tea. When auntie cancels at the last minute, their male friend steps in and the laughter begins. Riverfront Playhouse presents the comedy Charlie's Aunt by Brandon Thomas, directed by Maria Drake. May 13th through June 10th, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2. Tickets available at the Cascade Theater box office, by phone at 243-8877 or online at cascadetheater.org.
Mark, I can't wait for this month's second Tuesday dinner at Peter Chu's Sky Room. It's a great Chinese restaurant, and I am obsessed with their cashew chicken.
I know what you mean. I love the variety of options, so I always order something new. Peter Chu's offers many different options, including Mandarin, Szechuan, and Hunan cuisine. Please join us on Tuesday, June 13th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Peter Chu's on Airport Drive as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the animals and work toward placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
We're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, proud to announce that they've been named a SunPower Elite Dealer.
How did they achieve that status? Well, by having 90% or greater customer satisfaction on installation and by completing two advanced certification courses in topics like the design and installation of a high-efficiency SunPower system.
Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite Dealer because of their complete commitment to customer satisfaction. So give Powerhouse Solar a call today and get the best solar panels in the world, SunPower, installed by the best local solar company in the North State, Powerhouse Solar.
With solar energy, you won't have to worry about those energy rate increases or surcharges. And you can get solar now for as little as $75 a month with no money down.
There's no better time than right now, so consider Powerhouse Solar for your solar installation today. Call them at 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite Dealer, has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau.
So for solar as little as $75 a month, call Powerhouse Solar today or log on to powerhousesolar.com.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Sip a few for a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on.
Strangers. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios of KCNR 1460. Free Fire Radio is your town hall of the air. New city manager, EDC is with us today, Eagle Scouts. Tomorrow, Trish Clark and I will be here and have just a whole session coming in here.
I am sure that Trish will have quite a bit to say about the various news events of the past week.
You know, sure.
The leaker, the ongoing...
Reality... Witch. What's her name? Reality?
Reality, yeah.
Reality winner.
Reality winner.
I mean, not winner, winter.
Reality winter, whose name is Sarah. She uses the name Sarah, too, on her blog.
And
who, by the way, is a real radical and how she got... I can tell you how she got the top secret. I can tell you in a heartbeat how she got the... I bet anything it's an interim top secret.
Yeah.
An interim top secret, they look at your records, they look at a recommendation, and they will give you an interim top secret for people because there's so many people out there. And she doesn't have anything on record showing that she was arrested or, you know, it's just a records check. It's just a computer going out there and making a records check of this. It's not the final top secret because then they go in and they start questioning people. She had an interim top secret that allowed her to get into stuff. I will bet money on that.
And of course, Eddie Snowden says, well, we shouldn't prosecute her because betraying your country is an open society.
Well, yeah. And then you can be rewarded, too, by Chelsea Manning, who then goes to jail for a few years, but she does get a free sex change operation.
Your tax dollars at work.
There we go. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction, which is one way of handling traitors. You get the finest CCW training, advanced tactical rifle training, and advanced pistol. Why are you guys laughing? I mean, come on, Todd. Todd knows. You have a 5.56 pill.
It's an effective remedy.
It's an effective. It's a 5.56 pill that you feed to terrorists, and it stops the problem.
You have to laugh because otherwise you'll bust your skull on the nearest wall, Carl.
Anyway, hey, Ted Leidy is out there, and he's got a great, great class. He teaches all over California. Super, super place. Northern Firearms Instruction. Give him a call, 530-999-1822, or check him out at usgunpro.com or readingccw.com. Tony Giovanello has joined me today, along with Todd Jones from EDC, and... since I got off of my weirdness there for a couple minutes, it's Wednesday, it's hump day. Tony, you've this one story you told about being, you know, with, then without, with, and then without, and then back with again. I mean, it's you just can't quit.
Right, and I can't talk about the details of the opportunity, but one of the reasons why we're getting to speak in front of the Chinese delegation is the state saw how we don't give up, how we will take something, get feedback on it, learn from it, rev it and make it better, and just keep coming back. And as a matter of fact, the state representatives that we're working with, they just said, I cannot believe Shasta County's tenacity. And you guys are ferocious compared to everybody else in the state. So, and
is anybody landing things? I mean, somebody must be.
They are landing things, and it's still we're still in an environment where being close to a port is advantageous.
Okay, so
you know
we're not going to dig a canal between here and the ocean. So
it doesn't mean that there aren't businesses that would find our location appealing. But typically the bigger businesses have some percentage of things that they import and some percentage of their goods that they export, and port proximity is important.
Ready near port?
Yeah, I mean, we're not an international airport, so we're working on getting better flights. But, you know, our thing is we need to find companies that are selling in the Western U.S., right? Because we have 24-hour delivery to 50 million customers in the Western U.S. That's our appeal. Halfway between L.A. and Seattle on I-5, right? Those companies have not been under as much pressure as some of the bigger ones, but more and more, every year they are becoming under more pressure, especially if they're in the Bay Area or in LA, and those are the ones that we're calling and knocking on their doors.
The I asked Barry about this too. The fiber optic cable, very high giga rate of the internet. Is that something that we should really push as a city, a county?
Absolutely. We're just scratching the surface of, the digital revolution. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that actually come to the Venture Hub as coworkers or who get offices come there because of the high speed. We have some people who are working in the movie industry who just have coworking memberships so they can come to our facility and upload and download the movies that they're creating and selling because it's so quick. It takes a minute instead of 25 minutes.
I have comments in here from the chat room. Mm-hmm. And, okay, for 7647, what is your idea for bringing in business? Anon, 7647, just take a few minutes. We've got like 6 minutes. And just write something here. What is your idea to bring business into town here? Tony's talking about all these different things they're trying. So what is your idea? I mean, you're obviously not happy with the results. So what would be your idea? Something simple, give away land, give away, give away your firstborn child to the people that come here. I mean, I'm not sure. But what is your idea here? I'm at a standstill here. When I think about it, I'd give away the property if I had the right business. I would just say free property, free land here. And guess what? We're going to give you a real break on electricity and your taxes for the first 3 or 4 years. But you've got to sign a contract. You're going to be here for a minimum of 10 years. And if you don't, you've got to pay all this back. I mean, these are the only things I can think of. And I can't force people to move here because it's California. And every time you get somebody on the hook and then the headlines come out that say, California wants single-payer health care system, and the way they're going to do that is tax everybody, 2.5 times what they were before. I mean, so here, 7647, tell me how you would do that.
Well, let me take it a step further. We're a community service organization. My door is open, right?
Yeah.
If you have a great idea or just want to talk, come in, call me. 224-4920. Make an appointment. Share your ideas. I will mine ideas from everywhere and anyone.
And you will tell people, hey, look, this idea came from so-and-so, and look what happened.
Absolutely. We're not about credit. We're about results.
Okay. Well, somebody says the city can cut development fees. The county can waive property taxes.
Well, unfortunately, the county only accounts the property taxes. The county only accounts for 12.8%.
Yeah,
the rest it's the state's decision. State.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a question. Why is the city of Anderson so good at the same stuff that the city of Redding appears to be so bad at?
Give me an example.
I can give you one. I can give you one
from Redding to Anderson.
Shasta Gas Propane. Tried to get permits and all things here in the city of Redding for months, and they just couldn't do it. And they went down and applied in Anderson at the end of the week. They were given permits, and he has built a very large business down there and expanded it already once. That's one example.
Sure.
Now, I mean, there could be other things about it, but that's the one that was going out to this is probably not a fair thing, but the guys that were going to build the greenhouses, what they said in the paper is that they didn't even find out that they didn't get it until they read it in the paper. So, I mean, I don't know about that, and how that was done, but so they're gone. But Anderson seems to be acquiring businesses down there. I mean, this obviously comes from the city council, the city department.
I also know of businesses that have moved from Anderson to Redding.
So, okay.
Well, I mean, the reality is I'm not as much focused on that as bringing companies in from the outside. It's all about creating more jobs, not shuffling them around.
That's not on your plate. You've got enough on your plate like that. Okay. So many things happening, so many balls in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Are you giving up yet? Are you getting, I'm not giving up. You'll never give up.
I'm just starting.
But have you had your nose bloodied a few times now?
This nose is so big that it can take a lot of shots, Carl.
Yeah, that's a good answer for that one. But you've been bloodied in this battle. So is it harder than you thought it was going to be?
No. I don't look at it as being difficult. You know, sometimes it can be challenging. But, you know, that just makes it more exciting in my eye. You know, the reality is all my life I've been involved in putting together big deals. Big deals means a lot of different parties, all with different interests, and you got to find commonality and you got to get the orchestra to play together.
And that's a good way to end this. Okay. Todd Jones, I'm looking right down here. Todd Jones, Director of Entrepreneurship, former Marine.
Hurrah.
Since I've known you, you've kind of, you know, but you've stayed always in town here. I was kind of like moving on to a
trying
a really
to help move
goal.
The ball forward.
Yeah, and you have been since you've been here. And Tony, taking a job that's not easy. I mean, and you know what you were getting into, but you have not lost your spark. You've not lost your fire for it. And it's not easy. And all these people that are having these problems, you know, oh, why don't you know this, blah, blah, blah. Give Tony a call. What's that number one more time?
224-4920. You'll speak to Chris, and she'll gladly connect you with
you. Got a good idea. I mean, you know, a lot of times we don't see them. Tomorrow, Trish Clark and I take on the world along with a couple of the guests. Everybody have a great day.
News is brought to you in KCNR Shasta Redding by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river. Around.
And I'll keep this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Before hearing from fired FBI Director James Comey tomorrow, today the Senate Intelligence Committee is taking testimony from intelligence agency leaders, including National Intel Director Dan Coats, who says he never felt pressured to influence the Russia investigations. Coates also talked about the recent spate of terror attacks overseas.
I don't think we should take for granted that just because Europe has been the recent target of these attacks, that the United States is safe from that. We know through intelligence that there's plotting going on, and we know that there's lone wolf issues.
He led the Justice Department.